This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. My guest this morning is Democratic State Representative Jonathan Steinberg of Westport, who happens to be the chair of the Energy and Technology Committee. We've had some recent conversations with Republican Senator Ryan Fazio on energy, and I'd like to get some conversation from the other side of the aisle on the problem that has turned out to be a big topic in this year's legislative session in Hartford. We continue to follow it, so that's what we'll be focusing on as we go through the morning. Good morning, Representative Steinberg. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I know that there have been numerous ideas floated around. It's a complicated issue. If you could just give us a little summary of where we are at this point in time, and then we'll take it from there.
Well, your timing is excellent because the Energy and Technology Committee completed its committee process. Well, we've reached our deadlines as one of the smaller committees. So bills that we are going to consider that are energy related either passed out of the committee as of yesterday or are not going forward. We have a dozen, 14 different bills, several of which do address the issue of affordability. I will say that virtually all these bills are still what we call works in process. There's more work to be done. There's more investigating, talking to the agencies, seeing what other states are doing. It was important for us to get these bills out of committee so we can continue to have the conversations. And by the way, part and parcel of those conversations are the ranking Republicans on the committee with whom we've worked very collaboratively. Some committees have raised Republican bills because we have a majority. We thought any good idea to bring this year, and we went out of our way, including a nice 12-hour hearing, to make sure that all voices were heard and every good idea put on the table. To your point, really complicated stuff. No easy answers. We're not the only state with the electric bill affordability issue, and we're certainly not the only state dealing with the other issues that we have with energy, which is assuring supply. Keep talking about building out new pipelines because we're going to be desperate in some years, and also making sure that we have a reliable grid and a network of transmission so wherever energy is generated, we can get it to people's homes and businesses. So we still have a lot of work to do. Easy solution to this, it would have already been discovered.
Senator Fazio has suggested to me that one of the areas where there is agreement, where there is bipartisanship underway, is on getting new supply into the state. Is that correct?
Whether we love the idea or not, we're all pretty much subscribed to the all of the above school, as the governor likes to put it, which is an acknowledgement for the foreseeable future. We'll need to be considering all kinds of sources of energy, including fossil fuels, including ideally more solar and wind, though wind is going to be hard to move forward on thanks to the Trump administration. And we're all really excited, as are the other states, about finding ways to introduce more nuclear into the mix. Small modular reactors are all the rage, but there really aren't any of them yet in the United States. The industry is evolving relatively slowly for our purposes, but it's a reflection of the fact that we have to be open-minded to grabbing electrons from wherever we can get them to make sure that we have adequate supply, both for existing uses and also the big disruptor out there, which are AI data centers, which are very big users of energy, and they are creating disruption across the country as everybody's scrambling to figure out how we're going to power all these things.
The nuclear issue, I have been reading about it. Permits would be required. A lot of work is going to be needed on nuclear. Is that a long-term goal, or is that something that's maybe with the change of some legislation in Connecticut, is that something that could be more shorter term?
Virtually all of the options that we're looking at have fairly long time horizons, with the exception perhaps of solar, which if you can permit it quickly, could be put in place in a matter of 3-4 years. Many of these things could take a decade or more to come into place. And there's still not a standardized process or permitting for small modular reactors. And certainly the idea of building out new pipelines would take quite a bit of time. And the issue related to that is simply the time involved. And, you know, maybe if it came on board in 10 years, it'd be useful. But the assumption is that we would not want to be adding more fossil fuel, say, in 20 or 30 years, and still be paying off the costs of the pipeline if we did that. So in other words, whoever builds the pipeline wants a guarantee they're going to get their money back. And if we build out something that we find that we don't have to use in 20 years, that's what we call a stranded cost. So ratepayers are still paying for something we're not even using anymore. So, it's the complexity here. Most of the solutions are longer term, and some of these solutions aren't even necessarily good bridges to where we need to be.
Were you paying attention to word last week that President Trump was meeting with New York Governor Kathy Hochul on a number of issues, and one of them was on the Constitution Pipeline, trying to get more natural gas into New York and subsequently New England? Is that something on your radar?
It is definitely. You know, we've been talking about how we could improve the supply of natural gas in Connecticut. Our constraint are the pipelines we currently have. We were talking about, instead of a new pipeline, is what he's talking about, which would be quite difficult to permit quickly. We were talking about, is it possible that we could lay a new pipe right next to the ones that already exist in the existing right-of-way? Would that be a faster way to get it done? Are there things that we can do to improve overall efficiency, like assuring that we minimize leaks coming from the pipes? We are open-minded to anything that would amplify natural gas. But again, you know, the kind of pipeline that Trump is talking about is fanciful. It would be difficult. It would take a long time. And by the time it was built, we might be in a very different place. So it's very hard for us to get behind his idea for adding natural gas. But, you know, we are still willing to look at ideas like maybe running a pipe right next to the existing pipe.
What are some of the shorter-term solutions that are being considered in the legislature at this point in time?
We are definitely sensitive and sympathize with those who have very high energy bills, particularly those who've got to choose between paying the energy bill or buying their medications or putting food on the table or getting clothes for their kids. These are hard choices for people. We do not deny that. But we also recognize we have to strike a balance, that if we seek only to give current relief to ratepayers, we are actually compromising our long-term ability to address some of the issues you and I have been talking about. So balance in all things. We have been open to some of the suggestions we've heard, but we've yet to hear one which is going to bring immediate consequential bill relief to people. And we don't want to overpromise. You know, this is a problem that's unique to Connecticut or even New England. We're seeing affordability rebellions across the country, and that's a reflection of increasing demand and a really inadequate transmission system, getting energy from one place to another. Maybe we need to have an Eisenhower-era kind of interstate highway system for pipelines or something if we really want to improve it, and also for electric transmission. We need really a federal coherent program probably something more consequential than drill, baby, drill, a little bit better thought out. But New England is particularly disadvantaged because we're at the end of the pipelines. We don't have access to a lot of generation in our own area. So we rely on remote generation like hydropower from Quebec or wind power from Maine. We have challenges, and that means that there's no way we can just push a button and suddenly solve that in the near term. So we're going to continue to have that conversation. We have some ideas that are part of one of our Senate bills, SB4, that we're going to continue to pursue, which we hope will bring some relief. And we're going to look for ways to be more efficient, so at the very least we can assure people that every penny they're paying for power is efficiently derived.
I'm Morgan Cunningham, and you're listening to Face Connecticut. If you're just joining us, we're having a conversation which has been ongoing recently on Face Connecticut about what to do with energy in Connecticut. My guest is Democratic State Representative Jonathan Steinberg of Westport. He's the chair of the Energy and Technology Committee. I did want to bring up public benefit charges. And it would appear to me that there's some philosophical differences between Republicans and Democrats at the state capitol what to do with those benefits and with those costs. Is that something that's on your radar, reducing those?
Well, you know, it's sort of like when I talk to my Republican colleagues about taxes. They've never seen a tax they didn't want to cut or eliminate altogether. Similarly, they've been trying to get rid of the public benefits for a long time. It wasn't called public benefits until relatively recently when we asked the utilities to change their bill so that it broke out some of the costs a little bit. It highlighted the fact that because of these one-time charges, which, by the way, end at the end of this month for a good part of it, that's what really created this huge increase. So even though it's not going to go back to where it was last July, we anticipate that the worst of the pain will be over as of the end of March. So the temptation to do something that feels good and provides immediate relief is less urgent in that score. And secondly, I think that the Republicans have failed to be straight with the people about what those funds are used for and how important they are. For example, they support the regional greenhouse gas initiative, we call it REGI, which is a regional collaborative. They keep adding states because now it goes all the way down to Maryland, which work collaboratively to reduce carbon emissions and is a huge impact on health in the Northeast, particularly those who suffer from asthma. It supports our energy efficiency programs. And everybody agrees that the smartest thing we can do with regard to energy is to find ways to have more efficient appliances, choose when we use them, things of that nature. Energy efficiency is something we should be investing more in. We don't even have enough money on the table to encourage people in Connecticut. And let's be straight, we have a lot of homes and businesses that are pretty leaky when it comes to energy.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Tremendous opportunity to increase energy efficiency in the state, which will reduce demand and ultimately help every ratepayer.
I'd like to shift a little to talking about the utilities themselves. Generally speaking, and I know that this was particularly true in the last year, it made a lot of headlines every time Eversource or UI was looking to increase rates. Do you still have confidence in PURA, especially after that whole debate over what to do with Chairwoman Marissa Gillette? Do you still have confidence that that system can hold the utilities accountable?
Well, you know, I think what you describe is a very unfortunate chapter here in the state of Connecticut, where the utilities seemingly went out of their way to denigrate the chair in order to undermine her ability to be reconfirmed. That's a reflection of how good a job PURA has done in recent years in holding the utilities accountable, something we weren't as good at some years ago. And I think the utilities are very much afraid that when she's reconfirmed, which looks likely now, that she will continue on the path of holding them accountable. We passed some laws a couple of years ago that what we call performance-based regulations, which are explicitly to hold them accountable. Other states across the country are looking at what Connecticut did, because Connecticut put in place powers for PURA that meant that the utilities wouldn't get away with charging off to ratepayers things they should be charging to their own businesses and have shareholders cover. Our concern has been that the utilities, since they're investor-owned, have put shareholders first and put ratepayers last. Chair Gillette, and I'm very confident my former colleague, David Arcani, when confirmed, will be very much in the same vein, are going to ensure that ratepayer interests are protected. Now, they're not there exclusively for ratepayers. They have to be fair to utilities. I think they have been. There was a recent decision in the courts which upheld PURA's decision on the United Illuminating rate case. I think it's an indication that what they're doing is correct and legal and appropriate. And I know the utilities are very disappointed that they haven't been able to forestall this effort to hold them accountable. They're very much afraid this will spread across the country, and their business model will have to adapt. It is not a good place for us to be. We need to get past this kind of contentiousness, because we need to work with the utilities if we're going to move forward and make investments we need to make. It's unfortunate that it's so tense right now.
There would appear to be at the state capitol some agreement among Republicans and Democrats that there's disappointment in how the utilities have been acting. And I'd like to draw on something that you mentioned earlier in the legislative session during a press conference, when you had mentioned that the state's even considered buying Eversource. Now, I don't know if that's feasible or frustration talking, but is that something that actually got some discussion at the state capitol?
A couple of my colleagues put that forward. I think that they were intended to provoke. The logistics or even the legalities of trying to accomplish that are beyond me. They introduced a bill. We chose not to give it a public hearing. But there were a couple of bills that we did put forward which were intended to make it clear that if the utilities continue to look out for shareholders at the expense of ratepayers, that we maybe need to have options. We have a bill we moved forward yesterday that looks at the nature of the relationship between PURA and the utilities. We brought forward a bill that would third parties to do some of the infrastructure work if the utilities refuse to do so. Eversource has effectively refused to do smart meters, which would give people control over the usage of their appliances in real time. Massachusetts is getting it right now, but in Connecticut, they won't do it. If this is something that's good for ratepayers, allows them to control their usage, we should find some way to do it, even if the utilities refuse to do so. So we have, I don't want to call it fired shots across their bow, but we made it clear that unless we can find a way to work together, we're going to find other alternatives.
I'm Morgan Cunningham, and you're listening to Face Connecticut. If you're just joining us, Democratic State Representative Jonathan Steinberg of Westport is with us. He is the chair of the Energy and Technology Committee. Is there anything else that people need to know at this point in time about proposals Republicans and Democrats or separately have been proposed and where we go from here? Because we still do have a bit of time before we reach adjournment at the state capitol on June 4th.
Well, as I said, we've completed our committee process, but there's still a tremendous amount of work to get these bills in shape if they're going to move forward and voted on the floor. As a small committee, we have very early deadlines, so getting things out of committee was very important, as opposed to some of the bigger committees that keep meeting for another month or two. So the chairs were involved in the process, including a number of lawyers, as well as the ranking members. We're going to sit down, take further meetings with interested parties, and try to hash out the precise language on some of these things. We can't come to some sort of clear consensus that it's going to accomplish what we want to do. We may say better luck next. Many things don't make it across the finish line. But we are still very focused on ratepayer affordability. We're still very focused on the other things that we've talked about, like adequate supply, you know, a good transmission system, a reliable grid, and making sure that the utilities work with us instead of us to advance our energy future.
These bills that have made it out of committee to this point in time, are these really just drafts at this point? Do they have to go to the floor for a debate and amendments and so on, or can they be revised further? As you mentioned, you're going about more research, you're doing more legal discussions, you're talking with more interested parties. So are they out of committee as they will be when they reach the floor, or is it still subject to revision?
Virtually all the bills, what we call working process, they are not only subject to revision, they require revision before we would dare bring them out on the floor. They really need to be fully baked, and we're not there yet. So this is the way the process works, particularly for small committees. A lot of it is done after that. We do not need to have hearings again, even if we were to make some changes, because the subject matter is a public hearing. People have had an opportunity to weigh in. We may have gotten good ideas, some of the testimony we heard. So it only makes sense for us to investigate that and potentially build that into what the bill is going to look like. There is one large Senate bill, Senate Bill 4, which may end up being the repository for a lot of these ideas. The Senate particularly seems to like to do really big bills. I'm not as big a fan of that. But you know, eventually we're going to winnow down the number of bills we want to bring forward and really get the language tight so that when we have talk about it on the floor, when we have a real debate going on the floor, we can say that we listened to all parties, we worked very hard on getting the language precise so that the law will have the intent that we originally envisioned. And, you know, that's the basis for going forward. We want to have our colleagues to have confidence that what we're moving forward with is really going to be helpful. And you know, as we've been discussing, it's really hard on the energy stuff. It doesn't lend itself to straightforward solutions. So I'm really not sure where we're going to net out this session, other than to say we're really going to work hard to address everybody's needs.
Let's say that you're not totally thrilled, you yourself or your caucus or even all lawmakers as a whole. If there is a level of disappointment at the end of the session this year, also factoring in constituents here, where do the talks go beyond this legislative session? So are you looking at more talks? I don't know if there would be a special session or anything like that, but what would it look like beyond June? If you guys make a little progress in the legislative session now, you know, where are you guys going to be as far as preparing for next year's legislative session or any special session that arises?
You know, that's a great question because, you know, each state has their own rules. We're a part-time legislature, where bills do not carry over from year to year. In contrast, Massachusetts, where bills carry over from the first year to the second year, it saves you a lot of time. You don't have to go through the hearing process at the end of the second year. But because we're a part-time legislature and bills do not carry over, we effectively start from scratch next year. But I don't want to mislead people. It doesn't mean we're not working in the off-session season, if you will. We continue to have talks. PURA is working on a number of dockets that will influence what we talk about next year, particularly with regard to our solar programs, which is one thing we can pretty much act on, which doesn't have as long a time horizon to actually implement. So that's going to be an important conversation next year. And then to your point, the possibility of the special session, while unlikely, is still possible because we don't know what the feds are going to do. And the feds have already very severely restricted the advancing of offshore wind. And we don't know what the tariffs might do to the supply of energy. We may be in a different kind of crisis in just a matter of months than no one has anticipated, because it's very hard to predict what this administration is going to do next. So to your point, even though our session ends in June, talks continue. We have meetings with their sometimes study groups that are working on a variety of issues. The problems that Connecticut and New England face with regard to energy are not going away just because our session ends in June. This is something that really is important, and we're all going to stay really focused on it and trying to figure a way to make things better, whether it takes 6 months, a year, or 5 years.
I really appreciate your time, and we're running low on time, and I have one more question for you. I also want to mention that we're just kind of scratching the surface, me and you, in our conversation this morning, so we'll have to set aside some time later on in the session to see how things are going. But is there any one singular bill, like if there's one that's really close to your heart on this issue, one that you think will provide immediate and or long-term relief to residents of Connecticut paying their utility bills, what would it be? What do you really want to see accomplished in this year's session?
I made mention of Senate Bill 4, which is the bill which is likely to contain a lot of the elements. It already has a couple elements which seek to address affordability. They really need to be fleshed out to a greater degree. So if I were a Connecticut citizen looking to see what's going to come out of the Energy Committee this year that's going to be of consequence, I'd keep my eyes on SB 4. In fact, some of the other bills that we passed out of committee recently may eventually end up in SB 4. But that's intended to be the signature bill that really defines what we think is reasonable to try to do this year. Very much a work in process, but we're very hopeful that it's going to make a difference.
He's the chair of the Energy and Technology Committee, Democratic State Representative Jonathan Steinberg of Westport. Thanks for coming on the program this morning. I appreciate it.
I do as well, and I look forward to our next conversation on the subject.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.